Welcome to our Good Friday message, 29th of March, 2024. Our scripture reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16. I'm going to be reading from verse 24 to 27. Then Yeshua said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works." Let's quickly pray. Father God, thank you for this time together, enjoying the wonderful memory of your terrible sacrifice on the cross, just for us. We just refresh our thinking, what you did for us, the price you paid, that we might have life and life abundant. We pray, Lord, that what you did will work in our lives and achieve the great purpose, which is you living in us. And we give you praise for that today, in your mighty name. Amen. The phrase I'd like to just focus on this Good Friday, where, as we've already mentioned, we bring to remembrance the terrible sacrifice that Christ made at Calvary. It cost him such a lot. What we've got to do is understand it and make the most of it. That's what he would want of us. He says in this passage of scripture, "Anyone who wants to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." What does the cross mean to you? What does the cross mean to me? The understanding is that, of course, Christ died that we might have access to the Father. We might come into communion with him. We are now blood washed. If we've received him, we are children of God. But we're all aware of the fact that the moment you and I become born again, the moment we come to the kingdom of heaven, the problem is we bring a lot of baggage with us. And while we might very well be saved, God's concern for us is this process, which some translations render as sanctification. What is sanctification? Christ died for us to go to heaven, yes. But that act of sacrifice on the cross is a blueprint for you and I to enjoy eternal life on a day-to-day basis. What we need to realize is that this eternal life is a process of dying to the old man. The old man has his clutches in all of our lives in many, many ways. And each one of us has to work out our own salvation, sanctification, with fear and trembling. But the mechanics are the same. Very simply, you and I, without Christ, are totally centered around ourselves. The hallmark of any religion, any belief system that does not have Christ at its center is ultimately a worship of our own selves, our own being, our own individual worth. And while our worth is very important to God, the irony is that in attaining that full worth, we must realize it's the God nature in us that is the real worth. But that God nature in us cannot coexist with the old man. The message of the cross is this process, this painful process of crucifixion, of taking the old man slowly but surely, seeing his influence on us, the influence of this world system, wither away and ultimately die. That is life. That is what the Lord said is life. A man who wants to seek his own life. In other words, hold on to the old man. Hold on to the old ways. That's actually death. But seeking to die to that part of us, die to the old man on an ongoing basis. Every time he raises his ugly head, that's the pathway to life. And the key is the cross. The key is this wonderful sacrifice of God, of himself on the cross. The title of this message is very simply, Let the Cross Work. You and I need to allow the cross of Calvary to work in our lives, to work that deep work that changes us from one degree of glory to the next. What does it actually mean? Well, you see, in our own thinking, living in our own little bubble as we all do, we very easily get persuaded to thinking that everything's fine. We're fine. Things are going well. Just stay as you are. You're acceptable. And that might very well be the case. But the problem with that is we are comparing ourselves within parameters of our own paradigm. Even worse, what very often happens in our thinking is we look at others. We compare ourselves with others. And when we do that, we think, oh, well, we're better than them, so we must be fine. But you see, that's not the work of the cross. The work of the cross doesn't compare us with anybody. It compares us with the standard of Christ selflessly hanging there, bleeding and dying, and asking his God to forgive us. It's a painful process, slowly but surely, yielding to the work of the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit's task, you see. His task is to work with us, to work on us, to not let things go. He knows us better than we do. And while we might think that we're doing well, the Holy Spirit knows how much better we can do, how much better we should be. He knows that hidden part of us that possibly we are not even aware of. And his duty, you see, is to bring it up to the surface. When that happens, our duty is to take it to the cross. Allow the cross to work it out of us. To work that great change in our hearts, which so few Christians are willing to do. What that means is, you see, when life happens, we face up to it. Yes, we must do what we can, control what we can, but there are many things we cannot control. That is the name of the game. But the Holy Spirit is there, you see. And when these things come our way, we have a choice. We can throw up our hands and say, oh well, God's against me. Or we can welcome the circumstance. Not submit to it, but welcome it. Allow it to do the work in us that has to be done. Allow the cross to do its work. With that attitude, you see, any situation that comes our way can be turned around. Turned from what might look like destruction into life. What's the key? Allowing the cross to work in our lives. Allowing his example to be our guide. Allowing the Holy Spirit, under pressure, to expose that inside of us which does not conform to his wonderful image. That's the key to life, allowing the cross to work in us. My prayer for all of us over this Easter season, as it's called, would be not only to be grateful to the Lord for what he's done for us, but understand what he still wants to do in us and through us. You see, the work of the cross is not just for our benefit. It's not so that God will love us anymore. That's impossible. He's already shown his love in such a way by this very act of dying. The significance of allowing the cross to work, allowing the sanctification process to take place in our lives, to rejoice in it, is the very fact that, you see, the more the cross has worked in us, the more God is able to use us to reach others. That is the heart cry of heaven. That's what heaven was shouting when Christ went to the cross. God so wants his world, his creation, back in harmony with him. And it's our duty to see that happen. But we'll only be equipped to do that if we allow God to prepare us on an ongoing basis. And the heart of this preparation is the ongoing work of the cross of Calvary. I trust you now will take this message to heart and allow the Holy Spirit to raise us up as sons and daughters of God, a royal priesthood, holy and empowered by him. Amen.